Lou?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing? Is this Sergeant Lynn?
This is.
How are you doing today?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Not too bad, so I appreciate you speaking with me. So I guess we'll jump right in here. So I guess to start off, just kind of give me a little bit of your background information. Are you from Fremont originally, or how did that work?
No, I was born in Sioux City, Iowa, but I've lived most of my life in Fremont. I attended middle school, or some of elementary, middle school and high school there.
All right, just bear with me. I'm writing as we talk.
What's that?
I said just bear with me. I might pause every once in a while. I'm just writing as we talk.
That's fine.
And so did you play any sports or anything in high school?
What was that?
Did you participate in athletics or anything in high school? Or what were you involved with then?
No, I didn't really participate too much in high school. I mean, I did freshman soccer and football, but that's about it.
You did freshman soccer and football?
Yep.
And so how did your interest in the armed forces really get started?
I guess after I moved away from Fremont.
And where'd you move to?
I moved away when I was 17, about like a couple months before I was supposed to graduate early. This was back in 2005 I moved away.
2005?
Yep.
And where'd you move to?
I moved to South Sioux City, Nebraska.
Okay.
And I guess, I mean, I kind of got a job and everything else, and I planned on going to school, but things weren't going the way I wanted, so I kind of just thought about the military, and, you know, and I looked at everything that was going on, and I decided that, you know, I was just going to do my part for the country and go fight this war and help out as much as I could.
All right, 1 sec. Awesome. And so did you enlist when you were in South Sioux City then?
Yes.
And this would have been 2005?
No, I enlisted, I want to say I walked into the recruiter's office about January of 2007, and I was on a plane leaving for Paris Island, San Diego by like March 11th, I think it was on the plane.
Awesome. And so it says, what war would have this been? Was it Desert Storm, or what? Which one was this?
I was part of I was in support of Iraq Operation Iraqi Freedom, and Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan.
So you were in Iraq and Afghanistan then?
No, I did a Marine Expeditionary Unit, which is just you're kind of on a boat and you're floating around the Middle East, and when they need you, like when something is about to happen and they need you, or something happens, you know, they call in for you guys, you know. So we were just support at that time.
And so what branch were you?
The Marines.
So let me get this right. So you kind of traveled all around the Middle East, and then you'd get called into situations as needed?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was my first deployment.
Okay.
I was attached to 2nd Battalion, 6th Marines.
Okay. And then it was during your third deployment that you got injured then?
Yes, sir. I'm originally a combat engineer, and I was with 2nd Combat Engineer Battalion. It was my third deployment. I stayed internal in the battalion and did route clearance operations in Afghanistan.
It says it was 2007, but didn't you say you enlisted in 2007?
Yeah, I enlisted. I was here in 2011.
Three deployments in your first year then?
No, I did three deployments between 2008 and 2011.
Okay, so then maybe they're off here. What year did you actually get injured then?
What was that?
What year did you get injured then?
I got hurt September 20th, 2011.
Okay, 2011. They sent me like a bio on you, and the year was off on that. So it was September of 2011, you said?
Yep.
And so you were in Afghanistan then?
Yes, sir.
And kind of walk me through that. Explain to me what happened. You were on a road clearing mission?
Yeah, I was. We were we had just departed friendly lines. We were beginning to search the roads for any roadside bombs or IEDs, and I'm pretty sure it was like 9:30 in the morning over there at their time. My vehicle was hit by an IED. They told me it was like a 250-pound plus IED, and it kind of once it hit us, you know, I mean, I sustained two broken ankles, a broken left leg, and a few broken bones in my left foot as well.
So two broken ankles, and then which leg did you completely
mess
up?
My left leg was broken as well.
And then you had bones broken in your feet as well?
Yeah, just a few bones. Wasn't too bad. and then I was medevaced to Portsmouth, Virginia.
To Portsmouth, Virginia?
Yeah, it's a weird pronunciation, but it's spelled Portsmouth.
Okay.
That's where I was medevaced to. I got there on September 26th, and that's where I started doing my recovery. I'd gone through multiple surgeries at the time, and...
So you went through multiple surgeries?
Yep. I was in the hospital for, I think it was 34 days straight after I got hurt.
And so for you, I mean, so when you, did you wake up when you got to Portsmouth? Is that when you kind of came to?
No. The day I was hurt, I was conscious for most of it. I can't remember like 30 minutes of it, but I think it was just because of the pain was just so bad, you know, it just kind of blocked everything else out, you know. So, I mean, I was conscious the whole time. I knew it was happening. And then I believe it was that night when I got to call my family for the first time. I didn't have my phone on me or whatever, because obviously, you know, I always kept my phone on me just because everybody's numbers and stuff like that. But my phone got destroyed in the blast. So,
and was there any casualties with the accident?
No. Everybody was safe. Everybody in my truck was hurt, but nobody was killed. So, I was the worst injury in my truck. So,
and just, I mean, how thankful are you for that? That just, I mean, that nobody lost their life. And when honestly, someone probably should in a situation like that.
I'm really thankful. You know, I mean, it could have been a lot worse than what it was. You know, and I mean, looking back on it, it's almost like every one of us got like a second chance in that truck. You know, so. We're always thankful. I mean, I still keep in touch with all my friends who were in the truck that day with me. And
how many people were in there?
It was myself, one, two, me, three other Marines, and like a bomb sniffing dog.
Did the dog live too?
Yep, the dog survived too.
Wow.
The dog actually didn't have one injury, so.
And so you did most of your recovery and stuff in Virginia then?
Yep, I did all my recovery in Virginia.
And did they multiple surgeries on your leg before they had to amputate them?
Yeah, we did about, I want to say we did six or seven surgeries, seven major surgeries before the decision to amputate was made. I mean, from the beginning, from when I first got there and after my very first surgery, you know, my doctors had told me, I mean, I guess I know you're not going to put it in the papers, I mean, but like word for word of you, you said, you know, I can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, that's fine.
It is what it is.
Yeah, so I mean, at the time I was kind of like, okay, well, that's fine. Well, when can I get back to my battalion, you know, because I want to keep deploying and helping my Marines, you know? And, that's when he kind of told me, he's like, have you ever thought about just, you know, retiring and getting out and going to school? And I was like, well, no. I was like, this is what I've been doing for the last few years. And he's like, well, he's like, maybe at the time, you know, you sat down and started thinking about your life after the military. He's like, because he's like, with these kind of injuries, he's like, it's going to be hard for you to get back out there. So, I said, all right, you know, and it took me a while. It took me a good year before I accepted it, you know.
After they'd done it?
Yeah, after they had my original surgery. It took me a year after, you know, he told me, you know, just to get out and stuff. So, but.
And so when did they amputate your leg?
They amputated my leg July 3rd of 2013.
And so, I mean, was that, I mean, obviously, I'm sure that was something that you kind of had trouble coming to terms with as well.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I spoke with my family and stuff like that. And, you know, I have a 2-year-old or a 2.5-year-old who he lives in Fremont right now. He's with his mom. But, I mean, it was either, you know, I keep taking pain meds and, you know, constantly being high all day and stuff like that and not being able to grow with my son, or, you know, I amputate my leg and later on down the road when he's, you know, big enough, I can play sports with him. I don't have to take pain meds and stuff like that, you know.
Or you just kind of deal with it and you'll be able to spend time with your son.
Yeah, so, ultimately it was more me looking down the road and seeing how my life would be and how my life would be just, you know, me on my own and then also me with my son, you know. So ultimately I made a choice for me and my son and stuff like that. So, I mean, I got rid of the pain. I don't take any pain meds anymore and stuff like that. And I've been able to play around with him and stuff like that when I come home to see him and everything. So
you actually... I mean, so this happened in 2011, so you were actually in the hospital in recovery for quite a while before they actually amputated your leg?
Yep. We tried almost always every different kind of surgery that possibly could. And, I mean, a bone fusion was the very last one they could go, which, I mean, they pretty much weld your bones together. And it didn't, only 10% of it fused, you know, and you need at least a good 75-80%. Well, I mean... After that, they're just kind of like, you know, they're like, we can redo this fusion, you know, or we can, you know, just go ahead and amputate. And, you know, I told them, you know, it's, you know, pointless to do it because they had said that, you know, fusion most likely won't work again, you know. So I was like, all right.
Well, you said only 10% fused?
Yeah.
And so after they amputated your leg, I mean, what was rehab like, just kind of getting back into the swing of things?
When I was fresh out of surgery, I was still doing somewhat rehab on my left side as well, you know, strengthening up my ankle and everything. For the first few months, it was really just about kind of keeping my amputated, like, it was just more about keeping it straight, just so that the ligaments and everything and tendons didn't tighten up and everything, and I wouldn't be able to, like, you know, fully flex and all that stuff, you know. So for the first 3 months, that's how it was. But after those 3 months, I got my first socket. And the socket is like what we put our leg in that's connected to our prosthetic foot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So after I got that, they had this, like, it's almost like a table type deal that's, you know, they can adjust the height on it. Well, they would have me put pressure because when you wear your socket, the pressure's around your knee, so you don't actually feel it on the bottom of your nub. So they had me walking on it somewhat without a leg on it yet. And so when I first started doing that, just a second. So when I first started doing that, it was real painful, you know, because at the time, you know, I never felt pain, you know, I never felt anything constricting around my kneecap, you know. And so it was rough those first few days and stuff like that. And they had me doing, you know, leg strengthening exercises where they'd take like ankle weights and kind of wrap it around my nub and stuff and make me do, you know, leg lifts and stuff like that. So, I mean, up to that part, it was kind of painful. And then when I got
was this all done in Portsmouth still?
Yep, all done in Portsmouth. All my training was done in Portsmouth.
And so how long did it take you to kind of get up and walking around with your new prosthetic?
I had a few complications after my surgery. So it ultimately took, let's see, I got it in July. I got my first leg, like mid-October is when I got my very first foot to walk on.
So your first foot was mid-October?
Yep, in October that same year, October of 2013 is when I got my first foot. So, I thought it was going to be hard to kind of walk on something like that, you know, because I always looked at people like who use stilts and stuff, and I was like, oh man, I wonder how they really do that, you know. And then, so I jumped in my leg, you know, and they told me to walk, and I actually caught on to it real quick. Like, it was actually just like having a normal foot again, you know. So it was quite easy. And I mean, I had balance issues and stuff like that. So once I got my first foot, we pretty much worked on walking around the hospital and just balancing and stuff like that. But I mean, my physical therapist told me, you know, I exceeded pretty or excelled pretty fast with it, you know, getting back on and everything else. So
terrific. And so, talk to me a little bit about the Warrior game. So how did you hear about this, and did you just get invited down there, or how'd that happen?
So I guess I've always been I've always been big into sports. You know, my uncle used to, you know, me and him used to watch baseball games and football games together and stuff like that. So, you know, he was one of the bigger sports guys in our family. So I've always been into sports and everything like that. And, well, after I got my leg amputated, like I said, I was kind of, my mind went blank. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to be the same person ever again. I'm not going to be able to run like I used to. I'm not going to be able to jump, play around, you know. Like, I know I'll be able to do it a little bit, but I didn't think I'd be able to do, like a fully, like an able body would, you know. And one day my athletic trainer at the detachment I'm at, he kind of told me, he sat me down, you know, and, I was starting to gain some weight and stuff like that. I told him, I was like, I don't like how it is. I was like, I'm getting weight. I can't, you know, I'm like, it's hard for me to do these things and everything, you know? So he sat me down and he's like, well, he's like, we can work with, you know, your weight and stuff like that. And he's like, and also he's like, I know you're a pretty big guy and that you're into sports and everything. He's like, have you ever thought about adapting to sports? And I was like, I don't really know about him. I was like, you know, and he kind of sat down.
Told you about this? Was this in Fremont?
No, this was in Portsmouth again. Literally, the whole story will probably take place in Portsmouth.
Okay, sounds good.
But
adaptive sports.
Yeah, he told me about the adaptive sports and stuff like that, and well, when it came down to it, he explained to me about what kind of sports there are out there and stuff like that, and he's like, and this was probably about December, January time frame, and then he got an email, you know, asking for...
December and January of 2025, this year?
No, 2013, December 2013, or okay. We'll just say January 2014 is when he came to me. And he told me about the Marine Corps trials, you know, and he sat there and he's like, yeah, he's like, you'll go out there. He's like, they have coaches and stuff, you know. There's all these different sports from wheelchair basketball to so sitting volleyball, there's shot put and discus, stuff like that, you know? And I was like, okay. I was like, well, I've always been a big fan of volleyball, you know? So I was like, okay, you know, I'll do that. And then, you know, he's like, you're a pretty big guy. He's like, why don't you try doing shot put and discus? He's like, you know, there's always big people in those, you know? I was like, okay. So we worked on getting those two things down and, you know, pretty much the strength and conditioning for it. So I got out to my first Marine Corps trials in 2014, sorry.
And so what's it called, Marine Corps trials?
Yep, the Marine Corps trials.
And that's for the adaptive sports? The Marine Corps trials is for adaptive sports?
Okay. What's that?
So the Marine Corps trials, that's for the adaptive sports?
Yep, the Marine Corps trials is where it's composed of, like, I want to say... Probably about 100-150 like active duty and retired Marines, and then we also have about 7 or 8 different countries, Marines from different countries like the Royal Marines and stuff like that, that will also send a team over to help, like, to compete and stuff. You know, they're wounded warriors and stuff like that. So that's where I learned how to play adaptive sports at originally. You know, and
so when was this held?
This was in March of 2014.
Okay, great.
So, I mean, when you're at the trials, you learn to play and stuff like that. And at the end of them, the coaches would get together with the Marine Corps staff, and they would figure out, you know, who would make the team for the Warrior game, you know. And I was selected.
It's a tryout for making the team?
Yep, it's a tryout.
And so you made it in four different things then?
No, I made it for volleyball and shot put and discus. But when I got out to the Warrior Games last year out in Colorado, they asked me if I would be interested in doing, you know, basketball and also swimming. And, you know, at the time, like, I'm not a bad swimmer, but I'm not the best. So I was like, okay, yeah, you know, I can do that. And I told them, you know, I was kind of sketchy about basketball because I've never been in a wheelchair basketball at all whatsoever, you know. And there's a couple of my buddies, they're, you know, they're here on the team with me again this year. Who actually, you know,
so this is your second year in the Warrior Games?
Yep, my second year.
And so have they already taken place again this year? Are they coming up?
I'm actually at them right now.
So they're going on right now?
Yes, sir. They actually, opening ceremony is actually tomorrow morning.
Okay, so you getting pretty excited about it?
I am. I am very excited. I mean, it's a great time out here. So
you said, the very first year you did compete in all four, but you only made it in two initially, and then they asked you to do it, or is that new this year?
No, I initially only competed at two of them at the very first Marine Corps trials I went to. But when I got out to the Warrior Games, after I made the team for those two events, they asked me to compete in swimming and basketball as well, you know. And I said, okay, I would do it, you know, just to help out the team in any way that we could to, you know, win the Chairman's Cup and stuff. And I didn't know anything whatsoever about wheelchair basketball whatsoever. And two of the guys on the team that are with me this year again, they worked with me a lot and, you know, sped me up real quick, you know. And my coach also told me, you know, he's like, you know, you got to learn real quick. Just be a quick learner, you know, ask questions a lot. He's like, there's going to be days where it seems weird to you. He's like, but just ask questions and we'll get you sped up, you know.
Absolutely. So who all are you guys competing? Are you competing against just one another, or who are you competing against in the games?
So last year we only competed against the other branches. So we competed against the Army, the Navy, and Coast Guard. We competed against SOCOM, Special Operations Command, and we competed against the Air Force. So it was just all five, those five branches.
All the branches. Okay, great.
So,
pretty competitive then.
Oh, yeah, it definitely did. I mean, you'll have friends in different branches, and then, you know, if they're injured, you'll run into them, and next thing you know, like, you guys are friends, but you're competing against each other, you know? So, it's crazy. But, yeah, so this year they actually invited, the UK over, I believe it is, yeah, the British over to send the team here too, also to help to compete as well for the Chairman's Cup. So it should be a good time.
And that's what everybody's trying to win is the Chairman's Cup?
Yes, sir. The Chairman's Cup, it's pretty much almost ran how the Olympics are, I guess. It's the total count of medals wins the cup. So
the most medals win the cup?
Yeah, pretty much.
Can you spell Chairman's for me, please? Is it Chairmans?
Yep.
Chairman's Cup. And so that's whoever wins the most. I mean, that's the grand prize, like winning the Olympics.
Pretty much, yes, sir. It's that big thing. But I mean, it's everyone wants to win, you know. But in the end, it's kind of almost like that. No one looks at the Chairman's Cup as that. They're looking at it as it's almost like a recovery way, you know. That's how everybody wants you to see the games. Like, they want you to compete, and you know, they want you to. You know, because we can't go back to Afghanistan and have that fight that we used to, you know, get into the fight that we're used to. So they want us to learn how to compete and fight in a whole different way, you know. They want us to be able to, like, I guess metaphorically, it's like you're taking us off the battle, like fighting in a war, and now you're taking us over here back home, and we're, you know, fighting against our injuries, you know, because people say, oh, well, you're missing a leg, you can't do this or anything anymore. But yet you say, and if you just let yourself get down, you know, so that's why the games were kind of brought on, because it was just one of those things that it helped you rebuild yourself and look at yourself like, okay, well, you know, I still can play sports, you know? So ultimately,
and
it's just about...
Helped you kind of rebuild yourself and kind of get some of that confidence back?
Yep, to get that confidence and say, and pretty much, they want us to stop, for us to stop telling ourselves no is what they want us to do, you know? So they want us to be able to say, oh, yeah, I can do that. It doesn't matter if I'm missing a leg or it's two legs. I can still do that. I can do the same thing anybody with two legs could, you know? So it's a big confidence booster and stuff like that. And, I mean, that's, like I said, ultimately you want to win the Champions Cup, but it's just it's bigger than that, where it's a battle within yourself and, you know, you're just getting over that hump, you know, telling yourself, no, I can't do that anymore.
And so everybody competing from all the branches, I mean, so they've all been injured or something along the line that's preventing them from being active duty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. And so what have you, just through all, you know, just kind of through everything that you've been through and all, you know, all these trials, what have you learned about yourself from this experience?
I like I said, I've learned that no matter what my injuries are, you can always get through it. You know, as long as you have the right people and the right attitude, you'll always make it in life, you know. So I come out here, I have a good attitude towards it because, you know, I love competing and stuff like that. I've always been one of the competitors and everything else. And, you know, so to compete against all the other branches, you know, for bragging rights and stuff like that, or just to say, oh, yeah, I can do that again, you know, and I can get better at this, you know. And, I mean, like later on down the road, as far as living with my son too, you know, I can, you know, get him a basketball or a wheelchair for basketball, you know, and even though he has both his legs, you know, he could still, you know, jump in. I can show him how to play and stuff like that, you know. So, I mean, it's really just, it really helps me rebuild myself, take a step back, and then look at who I am again and really kind of put myself together even better than what I used to be before, you know. So.
Absolutely. So you said it's helping you pull yourself together and be better than you even were before?
Yep. Kind of just teaching myself to say that there's nothing that can stand in my way, no matter how I look or what I'm missing or anything like that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Sergeant. I appreciate your time.
All right. I appreciate it, sir.
Awesome. Good luck. Bye.
Thank you, bud.